We're back. You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community on 88.5 KRFY. Talking now to a representative of the Empire State, our fourth most populous state, home to 19,867,000 people, the 11th state, which entered the Union on July 26, 1788. We are talking to a New Yorker named Aaron Levi. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jack. How are you today?
Just fine. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me here.
So where in New York do you hail from?
Well, primarily Long Island, New York, or I could also say Long Island, New York, either way.
Uh-huh.
I grew up there. I spent the first 20 years of my life in Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New York is such an interesting state because it is home, of course, to New York City. But then there's this whole rest of it. There's a lot left of the state outside of the most populous city in our country. So growing up on Long Island, did you building did you live in growing up?
Well, it was a ranch house.
Okay.
I lived in a suburban community.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Long Island as a whole as a suburban island. There's no mm-hmm. large cities there, really, that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a delightful place for a young man to grow up. It was a playground.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show my ignorance of geography.
Okay.
And what's the relationship? You say Long Island. It was actually an island.
It is.
It is an island.
Yes.
Okay. What's the relationship between that and the other island, Manhattan Island? I mean, how far apart are they?
Well, they are separated by bridges and tunnels. So they're actually very close. The town I grew up in called Great Neck, which was it was the first town outside of the city limits of New York City. It was 20 miles from New York City to travel that distance, whether it be car or train, Long Island Railroad. And I would say I could see on a clear day, I could see the city line.
Skyline,
mm-hmm. me. I could see the skyline. It was very, it wasn't very big because it was 20 miles away, but I could see it from the coast of Long Island.
So how long is Long Island?
Long Island is 120 miles long.
Whoa!
It's about 25 miles wide. If you were going to drive across island, let's say from north side where I live to the south side where there are places like Jones Beach, that was an hour drive.
No kidding.
If you wanted to drive the 20 miles into New York City, it's an hour drive.
Was it a one long continuous island, or was it like Key West, you know, where you had bridge and bridge and bridge?
One giant island.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And how wide is it?
About 25 miles wide. It was like a big sardine.
Okay. If with the polar ice caps melting, will we lose Long Island?
I doubt it. Highly doubt that. It's not going anywhere.
So what would be above sea level? Is it above? I take it it's obviously above sea level.
Yeah. The house I grew up in was about a 5-minute walk to the Long Island Sound, the water. So I was practically at sea level. A lot of times I'd go riding my bicycle around my town, and there were some pretty big hills there. So it's a hilly hilly island.
Interesting.
Not like San Francisco. It's not hilly like that, But there were some pretty big hills there,
mm-hmm.
and it had a lot of contour to it.
Do you have many memories as a kid growing up playing near the water?
Oh, that's all my memories have to do with playing. Every incorporated village in the town that I lived in had their own swimming pools. So there was a lot of swimming going on. There were tennis courts all over the place, baseball fields. We had the proverbial little league going on. And in answer to your question, though, I spent a lot of time down by the water. At low tide, I would be down there digging up clams.
Ooh.
And at high tide, I'd be down there. Oh, not only digging up clams, but digging up worms for fishing. And then when the tide came in, we'd be fishing for bottom fish, flounder.
Long Island, Jim, here's some facts for you. Long Island is the largest island in the contiguous United States. So if you take out Hawaii, the Hawaiian islands, the Long Island is the largest island.
Even though Whidbey Island claims that it is the largest, but when I was living mm-hmm. over there, I had to tell them, I don't think so.
It's home to 40% of the population of the state of New York, and that's because Brooklyn and Queens are on Long Island. It is the third most populous island in the Americas after Cuba and Hispaniola, which is home to the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And it is more populous than Ireland and Jamaica as far as islands go.
I'm stunned. Because Long Island.
Yeah.
But that's more about me than Aaron. how often growing up did you get into the city, New York City?
Yeah, my dad, he went into the city every day. He worked there. He worked in the garment district. I had an aversion to New York City. I would go in once a year while I was growing up.
Yeah.
My dad would take me in on a Saturday for his work. So pretty much once a year. And I didn't really experience not much of New York City till I was much older.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've only been talking about New York City, not New York State. And New York City sort of like is in the southeasternmost part. Would that be fair to say of the state?
The state is north and west, yes.
Okay, north and west. What is the rest of New York State like? Because, I'm victim of New York City,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I can think of. I'm sure there's a lot of elsewhere in New York State. What's some of the high points of the rest of the state?
Well, I did have an opportunity in 2016 to walk across the entire state of New York. My wife and I, Anne, we walked all the way from Albany to Buffalo, on the Erie Canal Trail.
Ooh.
And that was really my second experience of upstate New York. And I know it's hard to believe, but the rest of New York, upstate, is a lot like it is here. Lots of rivers, lots of lakes, and lots of mountains. There's a lot of skiing that goes on up there. And it's just riddled with lots of lakes, rivers, and a 350-mile canal that runs all the way from Albany or the Hudson River all the way over to Lake Erie. And if you're interested, I can give you a little bit of information about the Erie Canal. I think it's very interesting.
I think the Erie Canal is a fascinating, just the kind of the story of it. You wonder if such a feat of engineering could be accomplished today, even. I don't know. Well, go ahead. Yeah, what do you know about the Erie Canal?
Well, interesting enough, there were no real engineers in terms of accomplishing a task like that at that time. That was in the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. And there was the civil engineering was actually begun by or figured out by farmers and just other individuals like that. And they created things that were not even in existence before as far as drilling and whatnot that they had to do. Mm-hmm. They began work on it in 1817. It was kind of joked about. It was referred to as Clinton's Ditch because it was brought forth, the idea, by a man named DeWitt Clinton. And he was mayor of New York. He was mayor of New York for two sessions, not in succession, though. And he pushed through that project. And then in October 25th in 1825 was the inauguration, where he floated all the way down from the Lake Erie down the Hudson River to New York City. And he had carried with him a barrel of water from Lake Erie and dumped it in to the bay there outside New York City. So that was when it began, and it opened up a whole new area of agriculture and whatnot, goods and services that were able to be brought from inland all the way down to New York City. At that time, before the canal, New York was not that significant, but once that opened, it became the premier port in the United States on the East Coast. Hmm. They said, I remember when we were hiking it, it was general knowledge that the canal was built on Irish whiskey. That every quarter of a mile there was a tavern, and I guess the water wasn't always that good, and I don't know how strong the whiskey was, but that was what helped everybody get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many miles did you walk?
We must have walked close to 400 miles.
Whoa.
In about a month. The canal itself is, it's just a touch over 350 miles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you count getting on and off the trail and things like that, we added a few miles to it.
And what was was it fairly level or?
Very level, yes. Okay. It's considering that it was carrying a waterway, it was 2 to 3% grade.
Okay.
So it was really easy, but where the eastern terminus, at the northern part of the river, where the canal started, it was 16 feet above sea level, and over on the western terminus, that was 500 some odd feet. So there had to be some radical changes along the way. 2 to 3% wasn't going to cut it over 350 miles. So they had a system of locks installed there. Okay. And I think everybody here is familiar with how locks work.
Mm-hmm. One of the things here at the radio station is we get some of our programming from the Finger Lakes region of New York State.
Yes.
What's the Finger Lakes region like?
Well, there are lots of lakes. Lots of water. Interesting enough, I did live in a town for a year and a half back in the early 80s called Canandaigua. And it is the northern tip of the most western Finger Lakes. And the Finger Lake to the east of that at the northern tip is a town called Watkins Glen, which I think is known for its automobile racing. big racetrack there.
Yes, and some music too. There used to be music festivals at Watkins Glen, so that's the way I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, didn't the Allman Brothers host like the biggest music festival ever?
And the band.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'll leave that bit of information to you guys. You're the music guys.
Yeah. But okay, so you I interrupted to tell you about the Allman Brothers playing at Watkins Glen. What were we
I was in Canandaigua.
Okay.
And I'd have to say, from my experience of most of upstate New York, it's very rural. It's very much like it looks outside here. It's lots of greenery. Mm-hmm. They have a tremendous autumn, lots of colors, like in New England, mm-hmm. like most of the country in autumn. And again, a lot of water and a lot of mountains. It's just a lot of rural. Of course, there's towns and cities all along the way. They were puny before the canal. And then over the next 20, 50 years, the populations out that way just exploded. But even with that, the towns are far, big distances between them. And so it's a lot of rural countryside.
Let me ask, you are a New Yorker, but you're a New York State-er. You didn't grow up in the city, but it casts a long shadow, the city of New York. And in your case, you didn't find yourself drawn to it at all, at least as a young man, not until a little later. Is that compare yourself to maybe your classmates or something like that? When I think of it, of people growing up in that close to New York, I think a lot of people must be just waiting to get old enough that they can go into the city and go the other way.
I think some of my classmates are in the city. A lot of them at this point are in Florida. And I know there are some in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Some are further up in New England. Mm-hmm. I know of at least one classmate that lives in Seattle. I think there's a few in Arizona.
Yeah.
And a couple in California. We've spread out. We're all over the place. You know, when you've got that kind of exploding population in a state, people have to go somewhere.
Yeah. Did any of them end up going into, did any of your friends, for example, finish high school and go, I'm going to Broadway or something like that? Go immediately, you know, look for the bright lights of the big city? Or is it just commonplace there, maybe? It's not as exciting being close to it.
My hometown was in the 1920s when Fitzgerald wrote Great Gatsby, and he referred to West Egg. Mm-hmm. That was my hometown.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you that, that with Great Gatsby. West Egg.
West Egg, yeah. And East Egg was across Manhasset Bay going east to another town called Sand Point. Two words. And East Egg was new money and Sand Point was old money. That's kind of the way that worked there. But because it was literally West Egg, a lot of wealthy people from New York City wound up having homes there. When I was younger, we used to, seeing that it was mostly a Jewish town, we would, on Christmas, we would drive over to see all of the holiday decorations at Martha Ray's house. There were few and far between decorations, but we could go over there. I went to high school with Alan King's kids, Sid Caesar's kids. It was that kind of town known, I'm going to say it now, but it was known as a snob town.
But, and this brings me to a question. Did you get snow in winter?
We got two or three really big snowstorms every winter. And in fact, I remember once, not winter, but I remember hurricanes washing up on the shore. I mean, it was just wild sometimes, the weather up there. But yes, we did get a lot of snow, had to do a lot of shoveling.
Okay, I was wondering, because I always see on the news when snow hits New York City, you know, they shut everything down. So I figure Long Island must have gotten some dumping.
Yes, we got a lot of dumping. And I don't know about now, but back then, it took a lot of snow to have a snow day. It did happen occasionally, but a lot of times big snow, and we were still going to school.
As a New Yorker or a New York Stater, do you consider, when you say I'm going to the city, are you thinking Manhattan, or do you consider the outer boroughs part of, you know?
I would consider that Manhattan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there's one thing you do when you visit there, I would say have a slice of pizza.
And eat it properly. I understand you're supposed to fold it over.
I'm not that finicky.
Okay.
Eat
okay.
it any way you want, but eat it with your hands.
Okay.
I have a question to ask you. You've been away from New York, New York City, New York State for a while. What are some misconceptions when people find out you're from New York that you run across? Do you come across any misconceptions that people might have?
You know, I can't say that I do, but I know I have some conceptions, which is New York people are pretty pushy. They have big hearts. But I get stuck on that pretty pushy stuff. It's not uncommon when you're there to hear people tooting their horns, their car horns all the time. Mm-hmm, that's me, that's a good sign of, oh, here's some pushy people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. It's fast paced.
It's definitely fast paced, and it's very dense. So, you know, it's just a busy place.
Yeah.
Kind of like the I-5 corridor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever live in New York City?
Never lived in the city.
Yeah.
As I said, I did live upstate shortly in Canandaigua.
Yeah.
And I lived in, not part of this conversation, but I went to school in Washington, D.C. So I did live there on the East Coast, but that's about it, really. Mm-hmm.
And you ended up seeking the rural life, going kind of, I mean, about as opposite of kind of how you or where you grew up.
Yeah. It is. When I was 21, just before my 21st birthday, I actually hitchhiked out to the West Coast and wound up making the West Coast my home.
Mm-hmm.
Started out in Ashland and eventually worked my way up here.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I guess it's interesting to just where people come from and where they end up, isn't it? I don't know.
Definitely. I totally agree.
Which I guess is really why we're doing this whole radio series anyway. We're close to the end here. You mentioned, of course, if you go to New York, get a piece of pizza. Anything else you want to remind us about New York, what to do, what to expect? What do you think about?
Well, in line with the pizza, I would say definitely have a meal in Little Italy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's exquisite there, especially if you happen to be there in the summer. There's lots of tables out on the sidewalks, and it could feel like any place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's beautiful parks there. I'm partial to the Planetarium, the Cosmopolitan, wonderful. Also, if you're in New York City for the first time, I would recommend the double-decker bus. It really gives you a good idea of what's happening, a good overview of the whole city.
Well, I think you're thinking of London, Aaron.
No.
they have double-decker buses now, huh?
I think you're thinking I'm thinking of London.
Uh-huh.
I'm not thinking anything.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did do a double-decker bus there in London, but I also did one in New York City. I had no idea growing up that was anything
Me
there.
Me neither, yeah.
But it certainly was.
Cool.
And if you have any family background of anybody coming through Ellis Island, I would suggest a visit there. It's very moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should do that. I think I'm one of those who, my family, both sides, passed through Ellis Island.
My grandparents did as well.
Yeah.
Hey, New York City is one of those cities that I have when I think of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Or Broadway with theater and things like that. You know, that there's a lot of attraction to New York City.
Yeah.
And now pizza. Wow. I'm there.
Yeah. Well, we're at 25 minutes here. Thank you very much, Aaron, for coming in and telling us about New York.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Jim.
Good to have you here with us, Aaron.
Appreciate it.
Should we play something by Billy Joel, you think?
We could.
I would say rather than by Billy Joel, I would say, I believe we're thinking of the same song.
Yeah.
By Leslie West.
Leslie West.
From Mountain.
Okay. Well, we'll... Perhaps that's what we'll play.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.